It's a little hard to describe, but once you see the movie, you'll understand.
Okay. Beth, let me ask you a couple of sort of big picture questions.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you feel now, looking back, did you know at the time you were in Vietnam about why the United States was committing troops there?
I think I had no clue. And you know what? I still think I have no clue.
Have you tried to get a clue?
I don't know that... No, not really. I mean, you talk to 100 different people, you get 100 different answers.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just say I have no clue.
Okay. But is it something that you have curiosity about, or is it like it happened and I don't need to understand?
At this point in time, it's a moot point anyway. Do I need to understand it? Not necessarily. The doctors used to say on a regular basis that it was to protect businessmen's interests. I had no idea what that meant. But there's always money to be made in the war.
Mm-hmm.
And what that meant, I don't know. I trust that the doctors knew more than I did.
Do you think they knew more than you did?
I have no idea.
Okay.
They thought they did.
You thought then that they did?
Well, doctors always think they know more than you do.
Okay. Beth, have you ever been to the wall in Washington?
I have.
What was that experience like for you? Can you say anything about it?
Yeah, that was difficult, and I think it must have been around late 1980s that I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I was down there for a conference for my work,
yeah.
And a friend of mine took me over to the wall, and I didn't know how I was going to react. I had no desire to go to the wall when it came out. I was glad they were doing it, but I had no clue. This was just going to be one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So. I went out there. Actually, this guy who was the head of the Hubble Telescope Project, and a friend of mine went out, and we were staying with him. And they just kind of left me alone. And I wanted to go to the books to look up some names, just of kids that I grew up with that I knew had been killed. And there were Boy Scouts there, and I couldn't get anywhere near the books. And they were laughing and jabbing at the books and tearing out pages and stuff, and it was just like, oh my God, this is just horrible. But I very quietly waited my turn and got up, and I got there. I remember the name of the two guys, but that I grew up with who were killed, but I could not remember. Well, I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
I wrote those down, and then I went to the wall and I looked them up and found the names. But I was so overwhelmed, I can't remember exactly what happened, but I was looking at the shiny surface, and all of a sudden, I just saw these images of guys coming at me, you know, of all these guys that I'd worked on, and they, you know, all these horrendous wounds, and it was just one after another, and the images just kept coming, and I felt myself really getting weak in the knees. It was hot out and all,
mm-hmm.
but I put my hand up against that cool wall, and I think I put my face up on it too because I was starting to pass out, and all I could think of was, dear God, I can't remember any of their names, and I cannot remember the name of one single person that came across that OR table. And I did a lot of cases, with the exception of one. It was a guy that I knew who would from when I was a kid who would come across as a wounded guy. I used to babysit for him when he was little.
And he came. He was in your OR room?
He was. I'll have to just do an aside and tell you that one. I just was scanning down the names of the DPCs, the delayed primary closures, that we're going to do that day, and I saw this name, and I said, oh, my God, it's John. And sure enough, it was. So we got to yakking and all, and we became really good friends then. He was a little bit younger than I was.
Mm-hmm.
But he and other friends started to come over to my hooch a lot afterwards and talk. He was quite heavily into the pot stuff by that time, too.
Uh-huh.
At any rate, he told me about being on the ward. I had gone up on Christmas, or New Year's, I guess it was, up to see Cardinal Spellman, who had gone to Saigon to do a presentation. And Charlton Heston was coming to the hospital, so I passed up Charlton Heston to go see Cardinal Spellman. Well, Charlton Heston went into the room. I don't know if I wrote this in the thing or not. Charlton Heston went in to see the soldiers, and with each one, he'd say, is there anything that I can do for you? And, well, John said, no, thanks anyway. And as Charlton Heston was reaching the door, John said, yeah, there is something that you can do for me. call my mom when you get home, would you, and let her know that I'm okay? And Charlton Heston said, sure, and he took out a notebook and wrote John's name and phone number and his mother's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he did call.
Did
Doris.
He?
Now, Doris had worked for my grandfather,
uh-huh.
John's mother.
Okay.
And she was this really high-powered woman who had her own business and so on. But so she was just, again, you know, she had her own secretary. Well, her secretary answered the phone when Charlton Heston called, and the secretary got so flustered she called out, "Doris, Doris, God is on the phone." So it just kind of cracked me up because that was in the days when he was playing Moses and
sure.
all this other stuff. So, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
You went to see Cardinal Spellman?
Yeah.
Why did you choose to go to see him?
I don't know.
Did you know much about him?
No, not really. I knew he was very well respected, and he had a reputation of being quite a great man, and I just thought of the two, he would be the one that I wanted to see, and I can't remember even now what he talked about.
Did you have any impression or recollection of that visit or the speech or where it was or...
Not much, now that you mention it. I did take a picture of him, a close-up, actually, which I have in the film.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember much of what he said. I enjoyed it. I was glad I went, and I didn't miss not seeing Charlton Heston.
Yeah. Just as a follow-up to that, were there other VIPs, either, you know, actors or politicians or anyone like that you remember coming through the wards?
Well, I mentioned a lot of them. The ones that I saw came through with Bob Hope, and there were some that came through by themselves. What I was disappointed in with the actors and actresses was that, for me, with most of these people, Martha Ray was another one. For me, it seemed that a lot of them were coming through for their own reasons, including Bob Hope, which disappointed me a lot, that they were in it more for themselves than for the men, and maybe that was just a conception on my part that was not warranted, but that's the way they seemed. They put on one face for the guys, and then as soon as the guys would turn their backs, their expressions completely changed and all. And you could see that they were, you know, maintaining their own schedule, their own demeanor,
mm-hmm.
their own front, if you will. The only one that struck me as being really for the boys and selfless was Anita Bryant.
No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding. And people laugh when I say that, but that was...
Even Martha Ray?
I did not like Martha Ray at all.
Why?
And the reason was that her mouth was so foul. I was embarrassed. I just don't think I'd ever heard language like that before.
No kidding.
Yeah. Even some of the guys got up and walked out. I walked out. I couldn't listen to it. But a lot of the guys just loved her and thought she was wonderful.
Uh-huh,
I just
uh-huh.
did not like the foul language.
Okay. But Anita Bryant struck you as being quite genuine.
Genuine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the word I would use, is genuine.
Okay. Did any politicians come through that you remember?
I don't remember specifically who they were, but we had politicians and we had legislators who came through. And what really upset me about that was... a lot of times we just didn't have what we needed, and the place was a disaster. You know, we didn't have the staff, we didn't have the supplies, and yet we always knew if somebody was coming, and we'd have to get everything just looking ship-shape and perfect. And so that made the commanding officer look good.
Right.
And
so
as soon as the VIP left, everything went back to normal.
It felt like some kind of game or something? That wasn't...
Yeah, I just felt like that it wasn't... It was a lie. In other words, what they should have been doing is showing the VIPs what we didn't have, and we could maybe have gotten some funding or some staffing or something, instead of trying to make it look like the commanding officer was doing this marvelous job of being right on top of everything, which
right.
just didn't happen, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, and resources got focused on creating this impression.
Impression that everything was fine,
mm-hmm.
which it wasn't.
Right.
They had to borrow things to make things look good.
Yeah, that's...
That's stupid.
Yeah, and a little bit upsetting.
Yeah.
In terms of your own experience as a veteran, have you ever had any kind of negative reaction come at you because you served in Vietnam?
For many years, I didn't say anything about serving in Vietnam.
Why?
Because it was not a topic that people wanted to hear about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to encourage any negative reactions because,
right.
you know... I know how I was treated when I first came back, which was horrible in California.
What happened?
Well, we got spat upon and ignored, and we couldn't get served. We were still in uniform. We couldn't wait to get out of our uniform. We had a terrible trip coming back in a plane that really was not well heated. We came out of Japan and went and landed in Alaska, and I'll tell you, we like to froze. There were three of us nurses, and I'd known those gals from basic. They had been at the 93rd, but we were all huddled under a blanket trying to keep warm. And one of them kept saying, "Well, I can't wait to get back home. Let's have a drink at the top of the Mark Hopkins Hotel." And they wouldn't serve us.
You were denied service?
Yeah.
Because
they wouldn't let us in. Now, maybe they were, they said they were closing, but it didn't seem to me that that they were closed at the time. And that was, I think, all of our impression. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but that was certainly the way I felt. And we wound up having to sleep in a flop house. We couldn't get a room anywhere. And it was just awful. It was a terrible experience.
You were spat on where?
Yeah, in San Francisco.
At the airport, or?
On the streets as we were trying to get toward the hotel. People just looked at us, and it just was not a pleasant experience at all. We'd had a rough landing, too. All the tires blew on the plane when we landed, and they had to come out with the fire trucks and all that stuff. So it was just not a good experience.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. Not happy.
And so you couldn't wait to get out of uniform.
Yeah, and Ken, actually, Ken Hickman, whose film I later got, came and picked me up and took me around San Francisco, which was awfully nice of him, and that made me feel better. You know, it was a good, friendly face. So. But no, I couldn't wait to get out of uniform.
Has the U.S. government, this is again be just an opinion, and you can that you can offer or decline to, but has the government supported veterans through the VA or, and in other ways, an appropriate level? I mean, you used the GI Bill you mentioned, and I just wonder if the resources that ought to be devoted to veterans are being, in your opinion.
I really don't know. The GI Bill has been extraordinarily helpful. It certainly put me all the way through school.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have really done that without the GI Bill. So, and I knew that going in that they offered that, so it was one of the reasons that I joined. The health facilities, I think the VA hospitals, at least here in Maine, the one that we have up here is not good. They never can get their funding. The service is bad. There's been a lot in the news over the years about problems with that. There's a veteran center here in Bangor where I work. I don't know to what extent they work. I know there are a lot of veterans around who have had problems with delayed stress syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very good friend who's actually had a couple or three tours in Vietnam. He's a colonel, or was.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a professor at the University of Maine. He and I have been friends. He's fine, but he runs things. He actually was part of a team that established a health care or a nursing home facility here in Bangor for veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the board of that now. So he does a lot to provide for folks, but I really don't know what veterans are getting. I think there are an awful lot of them who just kind of crawl off into the woodwork. The ones who are vocal will always say that there's not enough. I think there's been a lot of denial of any responsibility on the part of the government for those folks who had Agent Orange-related problems or thought they did. I know a lot of people who came back whose children were born with birth defects, who did not have any problems prior to going. So I'm sure that there are some related things, but the government seems to have denied that. They do seem to be doing some studies. I was part of one that came out of, I think, NIH. But I didn't think that anything I had was related to Vietnam.
To Agent Orange specifically?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I don't think so.
But you participated in the study?
I did.
How did they find you? Through the VA?
I can't remember. I really don't. Mm-hmm. That's probably something I volunteered for, but I don't know.
Have you been at any point in contact with the VA for medical care for yourself?
I tried one time before I took this job because I didn't really have medical coverage, and I had had a very bad ankle injury, so I went down to the VA hospital, and I said I would never go again. That was for sure. I was not impressed at all.
What happened?
I don't know. It was just it was dirty. I had to wait a very long time to be seen. I don't remember. I don't even think I was seen by a doctor. It was just one of those kind of thing that people complain about.
Just pretty dismal.
It was very dismal.
Uh-huh. And you're like, well, if I have a choice, I'm not going back there.
You bet that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why, with the job I have, with
yes.
good benefits, I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
You bet.
Universities are good for that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Beth, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to be sure to include in this interview?
Not that I can think of. For me, Vietnam was was a really crucial life experience, just in terms of getting to know who I was as an individual, that I was a lot stronger than I thought I was. I'd always been, I thought, kind of dependent a little bit on other people, although I was ambitious and did a lot of different things, that I relied on my husband a lot for stuff early on. I just never saw myself as an extraordinarily strong person, and I think I felt much better when I came away from that experience, because I saw people falling apart who were a lot smarter than I was, a lot better educated than I was. And that's the point of being stupid. When I responded to my dean's question, I said, I'm sort of like I liken myself to horseshoe crabs and cockroaches. You know, we just survive because we really don't get bound up with so many of the things that other people do. She didn't like that answer, but that's kind of the way I feel.
You gave it to her straight.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Not looking for approval, necessarily.
Absolutely not.
Even though she was a dean.
What do I care?
That's interesting.
Take it or leave it. That's the way it is. I'm just going to tell you exactly what I feel. And if I want to turn that stupidity, then it's stupidity.
Call it whatever you want.
Yeah, call it whatever I want. I was there to help take care of soldiers, which is what I did.
And are you proud of having been there and having done that?
Absolutely.
Would you do it again?
Absolutely. Drop of a hat.
Have you ever thought about going back to Vietnam, Beth?
No. Sort of like you can't go home again.
Mm-hmm.
So
nope, that wouldn't really serve a purpose for you.
No. And one of my hooch mates has been back, and Bob, the guy I was just telling you about, he's been back actually 2 or 3 times now to visit. No, I'm not. I guess I might if somebody paid for it. but
okay.
Is that on the high on my list of priorities? Absolutely not.
It's not a quest that you're on.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Beth, I want to thank you for your time today. Thank you very much.